Hey, 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 Real Talkers, it's Dr. Nikki here, and you're in the season finale of Wednesday. We are watching episodes 7 and 8, and it is exciting to not be missed. So pull up a piece of couch, watch Wednesday with your teen, episodes 7 and 8, and start talking. You will have the best conversations of your life. All right, enjoy the episode.
We did it. All right.
I think we've done it, but there we are.
We're here.
We are Facebook Live. Oh, that is so funny, Angie. And look at us, because we're Mom and Teen Real Talk, and we're talking about Wednesday Addams.
Here we are, ready to talk about episodes 7 and 8. I was not aware that this season was ending, so I sat down to watch these two episodes and see what happened. And it was exciting. There's the idea is not that we're just talking about Wednesday as a fun show, but we're really digging into the emotional well-being of the characters here and creating discussions that you can have with your teenager that are fun discussions about the characters, about what they're up to, about what they're feeling, about when they overreact, about when they're hurt and they try to pretend they're not hurt. Like having those discussions with your teenager to create more connections so that you guys understand each other more as parent and teenagers. So let's talk about Wednesday. What did you notice happening in episode 7 with this friendship dynamic? Wednesday deciding that she doesn't need friends, she doesn't care about people, and then sort of realizing her friends are more important to her than she maybe wanted to admit. What do you think?
I mean, she dug her heels in. They were going back and forth with the insults, and it turns out that they could both find something that they were annoyed about with each other. And it looked like they were just doing it because they wanted to hurt the other one's feelings. So I always think it's really interesting to figure out how to hurt people's feelings, or at least that's what she was attempting to do just so she wouldn't feel so bad. Didn't you get that feeling? Like they were just at it with each other.
You mean with Enid, like her and Enid, or her
totally
and Xavier?
Her and Enid.
When Enid, it was like Enid cares about Wednesday and Wednesday cares about Enid. And we already know that, but then it's like friendships turn into these lifelong bonds, and maybe it started off awkward. Now they care about each other. But I thought it was interesting when she said, is it so difficult to admit you miss your friend? But you're right, Nikki. Let's talk about that part, that element of when you're trying to hurt your friend. How can Wednesday care about Enid and then say things to try to insult her? Why would anyone do that to their friend?
That's a really good question. I think that you want to somehow hurt somebody as much as you feel hurt. And you have to really care about somebody that much or something in relation to what they're saying or whether you believe it's true or not in order to actually feel like you need to come back and come back strongly. She felt bad, but it was interesting because Enid had come in 3 times looking for something or having forgotten something. And Wednesday definitely picked it up. She picked up that she wanted to be there. And still, she couldn't admit that somehow she really wanted Enid to be there.
Yeah. And it's also that part where Wednesday is trying to protect herself, right? She doesn't have to be vulnerable. If she says, I don't care about you, Enid, I don't want you to be my roommate. It's easier when you're not my roommate, whatever. If she says that, it's like she's creating the idea that she's strong and she's independent and she doesn't need friends. So that sounds like a great idea. And we all sort of do that. We say, I don't need that. That doesn't bother me. It doesn't impact me at all. And we're lying. I'm really,
why do you think we say that? I mean, what is it about needing to not feel hurt for whatever reason?
Yeah, like, I mean, is that about trying to convince ourselves? Like, if I say it out loud, like, that doesn't bother me. I'm not offended at all. Who cares? That we will start believing it and not feel offended and not feel upset. Maybe we're trying to protect ourselves from it. Maybe we're trying to convince ourselves. Maybe we think that that's an easier way. If we just diss our friend and cut off our friend, maybe we're protecting them from a long-term friendship with us, which we feel like we're not good enough people or something. So if the friendship develops and this person really starts caring about me, I could ruin their life, or I could, they'll see what a terrible friend I am or something. So maybe it's even a thoughtful way of trying to cut off a friendship.
Oh, that's so interesting. So you're believing somehow that Wednesday thinks that she's toxic, and so she's trying to cut off the friendship before she hurts somebody else, as opposed to her protecting herself and cutting it off before somebody else can hurt her even more. So it's almost like we're calculating that somebody is going to have the opportunity and the ability to hurt us more, and so we're going to stop it now. So we will lose the friendship beforehand with the thought that we don't want to be hurt any more than we already feel hurt. But it's interesting that you thought it could have went both ways, and that's probably true of Wednesday, who definitely feels like there's something toxic about her, and she feels like she's somehow going to create the destruction of the whole school, and that's what she's protecting the school against.
Yeah, I think it is. It's that idea, that weight of the world. And then when she did endanger her friends, selfishly, Wednesday wanted to solve the mystery, and she put her friends' lives in danger and put them in harm's way. And when all of them pointed that out to her and said, "Hey, you can't do this. It's not fair. I don't want to be a part of your game. I don't want you to lie to me and put me in danger. What you're doing isn't right." Wednesday didn't say, "I hear what you're saying. I'm sorry about that. And I shouldn't have done that. I had tunnel vision over this, solving this mystery." She just thought, like, maybe she thought about, "I have endangered my friends." And maybe she decided, "I can't have friends, or I shouldn't have friends, because I'm not considerate enough, or I will hurt them." Maybe she took that really to heart. And then the easiest way to solve that, instead of explaining to Enid, like, "Hey, I want to have a heartfelt discussion with you. I've realized some flaws about myself and I'm worried about them," she just pretends like, "Fine, good. I don't need you. I don't want to be your roommate anyway."
Yeah, I think that's so interesting. And the interesting part is that Wednesday also would protect her family to no end. She talked about revenge, and she talked about it being slow and painful and excruciating, yet she wasn't protecting her friends when she brought them along to help her do her bidding. But she also didn't trust that they would come with her. Mm-hmm. And she probably thought that they'd be okay, that she would still protect them while she was there, but she couldn't be honest with them about bringing them there to begin with.
Yeah. And it seems like this is kind of Wednesday's first experience with friendship, what friendship means, Eugene being a friend, Eugene being someone who actually trusts her, who admires her. And I don't know that Eugene is the person that Wednesday looked at and said, "I really care about this person," but she cannot deny that she has some sort of empathy for someone who's picked on. She relates with Eugene being like her brother. She does feel guilty that Eugene was in the woods looking around when Eugene expected her to be there with him and they were going to be together, and she got hurt. So all of those things combine inside Wednesday's heart, and she loves and cares about Eugene as a real friend.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. The dynamics of her love, and also where she feels so alone and that she's always going to be alone. She said something interesting about Principal Weems and whether she trusts adults or not. And I think that's another interesting factor. Like, so she didn't trust her friends necessarily to help her if she needed help, to be honest with them. But she also didn't trust the adults to not somehow gaslight her or just do whatever they need to do in order to protect their own interest or move their own agenda forward. And I think it's really interesting because I always think about where we gaslight our children in a way to somehow not have the feelings that they're having. So if they're falling, you know, or if they fall, then we say, oh, you're okay. Now we don't actually know if they're okay or not in terms of how they're feeling. We know that they're okay as to whether they're hurt really badly or safe or not, but we can't decide if their feelings are okay. So it's interesting how I think that's a little bit of a form of gaslighting where we're trying to tell somebody what they're feeling or what they're not doing correctly and pulling a shade over them to somehow make them almost think like they're going a little bit crazy. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah. And I mean, we saw that a lot in this episode, but yeah, I can imagine an adult talking to Wednesday. And if Wednesday said, I don't care about Eden. She doesn't matter to me. If someone said, yes, you do, you really care about her a lot, I don't think that would be a helpful conversation. I don't think that would get Wednesday to open up, right? We don't have just like denying her feelings. You would want to ask Wednesday, okay, you don't care about Enid. She isn't important to you. So what do you care about? Or are there pieces of Enid's personality that you do admire, just to get her to think about it more rather than denying what she's feeling or right. saying, Wednesday, you shouldn't say that to Enid. You should right, tell
that,
her.
You don't believe that, or you don't hate your brother doesn't hate you, even though he beats you up or whatever it is. But that reminds me of that initial conversation with Enid. Like, do you believe that other people's annoying habits are really annoying, or do they remind you of something related to your past, or do they bring up something that you feel about yourself? So there are some really annoying people in my life who just don't annoy me for whatever reason and annoy other people tremendously. So I'm always looking when somebody's really annoying me a lot to decide what is it about the situation that's reminding me of something that I have no control over or something in the past where I felt kind of victimized or put out or not thought about well or whatever. So I don't know if you have a thought about when people get annoying or not.
Oh, that is a great thing to look at, especially because we have parents and teenagers listening, right? Like, noticing what irritates you about the other person. Like, when do you get annoyed? What behavior do you find annoying? Do you find it annoying when that person leaves their wet towel on the bathroom floor? Do you find it annoying when that person knocks on the door and says, how was your day? What things are annoying to you and why are they annoying to you? Because someone else would be like, that doesn't bother me at all. Who cares? You can leave 10 wet towels, you deal with it. So why does that bother you? Because thinking about it, right? It's probably something inside you that you're reacting to more than that behavior of the wet towel or the knocking on the door.
Absolutely. There's definitely something, and I always say that you get to work on about it because it's not that you have to, but it just allows you to dig deeper into what your mind is really thinking and what's going on around you. And you'll find that some people who get annoyed by certain things probably get annoyed by a lot of things or, you know, feel easily disrespected or whatever it is. But it's really interesting to try to change the people's behaviors around you so that they're not so annoying as opposed to kind of looking inward.
Right. That's a whole different thing. So right. I saw in episode 7 and 8, like a couple of little kind of stereotype themes that I've seen in teenage television, because you and I talk about all of this. I noticed that once Wednesday had sort of thought that she had uncovered that Xavier was the monster, she was confident in herself. And then she felt like she decided to trust Tyler. and she put her trust in him. And then for the first time, we see them kiss. And immediately after that kiss, it's like, it turns into this, he wasn't who I thought he was. I trusted him. That was fake. And this is a theme I see in teen TV. I'm thinking so much of like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, even like 90210. It's this theme of like, once you trust someone that they can turn. And in this case, they're an actual monster. This right. person that you trusted and gave your heart to and built up is now like a horrific monster.
She figured it out pretty quickly, though.
That was immediate, right?
Like, well, she trusted her vision too, because a lot of times we somehow know that there's something not right about this relationship or this person or whatever's going on. And there's a way that we don't trust ourselves. Mm-hmm. Maybe he doesn't really mean that or believe that when he says something that's really bad. Or so I really was impressed that Wednesday trusted herself so much after the kiss. She had a vision and she knew he was the monster and she left immediately. She didn't hang around in order to be tortured in some
way. Right. But even that, I thought there was still some doubt there when she felt he's the monster. But then when she told Principal Weems said, like, just leave, get out of here. Xavier told her, like, get out. Xavier told her, get out. You don't belong here. And then when Tyler continued, like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just a nice guy. I thought she did have maybe some doubt of, is what I saw right?
I didn't, like, get much doubt from her even in that. Her friends all laughed because uh-huh. he somehow was convincing to them, but they also got scared. They thought that they'd get in trouble or that something would happen to them. But she ended up alone and she still was determined to figure out this case by herself. Mm-hmm. And she did. And then once people realized that she was that determined and that she was actually right in whatever was going on, then they all followed suit. And then you could see Enid was wolfing out. She really believed in what she was doing. She ended up saving the day, which I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
The wolf.
Yeah. I love that Enid, that all happened. Yeah. And she came out strong and fought for Wednesday, because again, we see that like the words that Enid has said is, are more like, well, fine, I don't care about you. And then her actions are, when you need me, I will be there for you, right? I'm here to support you. And it's the same thing we see with Wednesday, her kind of saying the words, it doesn't matter, or putting on a front that she doesn't care. And then her actions really show she cares about other people. I will take an arrow to protect you, to protect one of my friends. Like, that's her truth.
Yeah, she did take that arrow for Xavier, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And she died there, which I thought was really interesting. She died and then Goody brought her back. So mm-hmm. there was a death and a rebirth. And maybe the rebirth of Wednesday was somehow a little bit more open, a little bit more vulnerable, allowing herself to be a bit closer to people or having them help her. She needed people's help and she didn't actually have to do it by herself. So that's the other interesting question, is that we've somehow been taught that we have to do every hard thing by ourselves in order to prove that we're independent or something like that. But I've decided I'm not doing hard things alone. I've done so many hard things by myself. Every doctor's appointment I go with somebody, I like moving in little groups and helping people and us sharing things. And so that idea about us being able to do it by ourselves, I'm not buying it anymore. I know that we can do things by ourselves, but why? It's so much not as fun. And also you have feelings about it. And so you might as well be around other people while you're having feelings.
That's a really strong message, Nikki. That's one to point out to anyone listening. What are you trying to take on right now in your life that you feel like, I have to accomplish this, this is my mission, and you're not sharing it with someone else, you're not asking for help, you're not talking it through with someone else, you're just feel like it, the entire burden is on you, and what perspectives might change if you talk to someone else about it, if you asked for help or got advice, how could that change things? That's a good reminder for all of us.
Yeah, no, I definitely believe that, because what it does is it reinforces the loneliness and the disconnection, which really pushes us to do all of whatever addictive behaviors you have. I mean, any way that you can deal with the unbearable disconnection and loneliness. So that's why we're doing this. That's why, because people really have figured out how to stay somewhat connected through these shows that they're watching. Every parent and teen that I speak to is watching Wednesday right now, which I find fascinating, even more than the last show we watched, which was Never Have I Ever, which I absolutely loved. And if you guys can go back and watch it, I think you'll really, really enjoy it. Great themes, interesting way in which they did it. But people are watching it together and they're still not talking. So all of these opportunities to have this really close connected communication, not necessarily about yourselves, so you're not quite as vulnerable, but to really understand and open up and trust, is happening and not being taken advantage of while people are watching their shows together. So that's really why we're doing this. We want you guys to communicate so well, to be so connected, so that there's always a place to come back to where your young person doesn't have to be alone with the hard feelings that they're having.
Right. And this can happen in any way, right? You can be watching Wednesday by yourself. Maybe you've never seen an episode of this TV show, but you just join us for the podcast and listen into the questions that we're talking about. And you start this conversation with your teenager and ask them, hey, have you seen the show Wednesday? What do you think about that? Is she smart? Does she make emotional decisions or does she make logical decisions? Does she have strong friendships? Do you have strong friendships? Asking those questions can really create that conversation in which both of you feel like you understand each other better. You're talking to each other now. You're talking about something that matters and having thoughtful conversations in a fun way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's all about having the fun. And I've also made a decision that I was going to try to have as much fun as possible, meaning that I was going to look for ways in which things were going well, that I was going to give at least equal airtime to the things that were going well as the things that are not going well. So if we can do that at least, you know, and find some fun ways to get in there, I think that you will have a lifelong relationship where you can stay close and connected. And then you see at the end where Enid and Wednesday really hug each other. Like they had endured something really, really horrific and hard together. Even something Wednesday couldn't handle, because Wednesday really loves to believe that she can handle any hard situation. And then they had just this really heartfelt hug that they both had pushed beyond wherever they were comfortable in this traumatic situation and found each other. And, and everybody trusted Wednesday after that, that her instincts are right, that she would take an arrow for somebody, that she would continue to search for the truth. And how often do we actually give up on what we believe is the truth or our authentic selves just because we are really scared to be disliked or to be rejected? And I totally get it, because not being part of the tribe is very scary and very upsetting and dangerous in our kind of pre-present day brains. But that is what we're going for.
Yeah,
that is definitely.
And forgiveness. I mean, that was kind of huge. She said those terrible things to Xavier. Like decided that he was the monster, put him in jail, and he said those awful things to her. There are like terrible things can come out and you can make an awful mistake that hurts someone else and you can get past that and you can make a new choice the next day. I thought what you said about choosing to have more fun in your life is another good point that we can point out to adults listening who get stuck in the day-to-day, you know, routines of life and forget that you can be really deliberate and decide to seek out fun moments in your life and participate in fun things, especially with your teenagers or away from them for yourself, because then you are a more fun and whole person to interact with your teenager when you do.
I love that. Yeah. So you're pursuing with your teenagers and with yourself, and hopefully not with too much social lubricants or, you know, kind of addictive substances, because really that adds a layer where you have to heal from that too. So I'm talking about just really some fun conversations where you find some amusement in things that seem silly to you, where you're watching Wednesday and noticing something that amuses you. There's always something if you're looking in that direction. So I loved this show. They are definitely giving us the idea that there's going to be a season two and hopefully more. It's almost like Wednesday is, she's a detective. And so you could really create a detective-like story in any way. So I'm kind of hoping that this is going to continue on for a little while. I don't know. How do you feel about this particular?
Oh yeah. I mean, that cliffhanger ending. Yes. Right. I want to see what's happening with Xavier. It looked like maybe the monster was not going to be captured. The Tyler was going to be loose. What's going to happen there? I'm interested to see Eugene, who I'm picturing is going to turn it out from his nerdy kind of be loving.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even think of him. Yeah.
I figured from the very beginning, I was like, that guy's going to be incredibly good looking pretty soon.
Oh my God. Really, yeah. He just needs a couple of years or so. Oh my God. That's so funny. I love it. I love it. Oh my God.
Yeah. And Enid and Ajax. I want to see what happens with everyone. So yeah,
that would be really great. So if you guys have any ideas about what shows you want us to talk about or think about, people have been talking to me a lot about this Ginny in Georgia, but everybody's giving me like a cautionary tale about it.
I mean, it is horrific. I thought about that too. I want less people watching that TV show, but maybe we can talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we watch it and do like a special episode on that. But we hope you guys enjoy this. This is our first Facebook Live, so the podcasting audience, just know that I am going to stop the recording now and talk to our Facebook Live audience.
If you want to really learn how to have the most meaningful, fun, connected conversations with your teenagers, get in touch with us and see if it makes sense to work together. You will stop future generational trauma, as well as really decrease the incidence of high-risk behaviors just by your strong and close connections. All right, speak to you soon.